Our man Randy Nelson is on, Clay County Extension guru for lawn and gardens. Randy, how are you, buddy? Good to talk to you again. Welcome back.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Alex.
Glad to have you back.
All right, here's the deal. Alex and I have asked Randy every question we need to ask him. He's helped us. My pine trees look great, buddy. My lawn looks great. I've got the dead spots seeded properly, and everything he's done is working.
Mm.
We need your questions for him. 701-271-1100. 701-271-1100. That is the Consolidated Communications phone line. Team with those guys for your small business needs on voice, data, internet solutions. They'll hook you up. It's Consolidated Communications. 701-271-1100.
I do have a quick question, though.
All right.
With my flowers there in pots, Randy, the hanging baskets, one of my baskets wasn't draining properly, and with the rain and everything, it got too wet. And some of them are dying, of course, and I've kind of pulled off the dead ones and got rid of them. Is there anything else I can do to kind of save this here, last ditch?
Really, beyond what you've done, Alex, not a whole lot else that you can do. You had mentioned that it wasn't draining properly.
Yeah, Jay had to drill the draining hole again or something. I don't know. He made it because the hole got clogged up or something, and it wasn't draining.
As long as that's been corrected and then you remove some of the dead parts or the dead plants, that's really all you can do at this point. Hopefully they're going to come back. If not, we still got quite a bit of summer left.
Yeah.
If you happen to find some other plants or you have some spare ones, you can certainly stick in there.
Yeah, my ones in the back look nice. I really don't want to have to move them to the front, but this one happened in the front, and it's the first thing you see when you drive up.
Yeah,
exactly.
You want them looking good.
All right, Dan is on the line as a question for Randy. Dan, you're on with Randy Nelson. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I have several gardens. In one of my gardens, I got beets. The deer are devastating my beets.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Yeah. I got a 4-foot-high fence. I put, I've mixed up all kinds of smelly stuff to put on the beet leaves. They jumped the 4-foot fence, and they love my beets, and I just, I put sound out there, tin cans on. I've done about 6 different things, and they still get in my beets. What else can I do? I've tried the chemicals you buy in stores, and I think that attracts the deer rather than repels them.
Oh, I know, right?
It's
like, shoot them all.
That's a great question. The products that you can put on with the smell, or sometimes with the what taste that's supposed to help, it's really hit and miss. Some people seem to have good luck. Others do not. In your case, Dan, you already have a fence up. You've tried some other techniques, too, and they don't seem to be working. With beets, one thing you could try, you may be able to put down a row cover, and it's kind of a poly-spun fabric that typically people use it to either exclude insects or to keep in heat. If as we get towards fall, they'll use that to extend a little bit of the growing season.
Right.
But in your case, if you put that over and you fasten it down, that might be enough to keep the deer out, because they're going to see that, and they won't be able to get at your beet. So that might be worth a shot.
And what is it called, and where can you get it, and how expensive is it? Is it one of those expensive things? I mean, I ain't got a whole lot of beets left.
Okay, I don't think the row cover is going to be real expensive. I can't throw at any prices. I haven't bought any myself, but, usually it's not going to be that much. And I would check at your local garden centers. Some of them may carry it. If they don't have it in town, it may be something that you need online. But if you just do a quick search, garden row cover,
yep, I just did.
Pop up a number of products.
Yep, yeah, 61 inches by 55, about $17.
Okay.
So not too bad.
It's called garden row cover?
Yep, garden row cover. It looks like just plastic, like polyplastic over the top of it. But apparently it'll keep the deer out. Yeah, they probably wouldn't want to chew through that.
I don't know. My deer are pretty.
Yeah.
You know where the good stuff is.
They're smart.
Yeah, well, yeah, they got the taste and they love it. Okay, poly roll cover. Okay, I'll look it up on the internet.
All right. Thanks,
hey, thank
Dan.
You
bet. I bet that's a problem for a lot more than just Dan. I know it is for
I'm
us.
Sure.
It's weird how there's certain flowers, Randy, that they want nothing to do with. And then other ones, they'll just... So my wife has kind of been on a mission to plant the stuff that they don't want to eat rather than try and battle them.
Oh.
That's a good idea, too. It seems like even the stuff that they don't necessarily like to eat, if they get hungry enough or, I don't know, the season changes, it seems like they go after that, too. They're really a challenge to work with.
I got
to
tell you a story about this. A couple weeks ago, we had a nice weekend. We had some company playing some bean bags, right? Some cornhole. And I have the nice cornhole bags that are actually filled with corn.
Sure.
And they're, you know, they're to weight and the whole thing, their size and weight, whatever. So we playing, it was late night, got going, the bags were on the boards, you know, on the lawn. It wasn't going to rain, so we didn't really worry about bringing them in. Came out the next morning, I'm like, where's the other? I only got four bean bags here. Like, did somebody take them? What is going on? So I look up a little bit, and out in the middle of the yard, I see one of the yellow bags, like, torn open. And look around, sure enough, there's deer to the deer chewed open my bean bag.
I bet squirrels like
and
those,
and ate the corn out of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, just can't you eat my wife's plants, please? Leave my cornhole bags alone. Oh, man.
Yeah. Hey, Randy, what about watering when it's this hot out? Is it best to do it early in the morning, late at night? And because it's just so hot. Otherwise, the grass will burn up.
Right. When you're watering your lawn, ideally, if you could do it earlier in the morning, and it, you know, some people will say, oh, you know, 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and it really, once you get up in the morning, if you can turn on your sprinkler system, that is the best time to do it for a couple of reasons. One, you know, if you're however long you need to water to get down that, say, 1 inch of water or whatever is needed for your particular lawn, you can also see how the sprinklers are hitting the lawn, because every now and then a person might have a sprinkler head that goes bad, and you know, if you're not there to watch it, you'll never know that it's not working. The other thing is, watering in the morning, you have plenty of time for the foliage on your grass to dry before nightfall. Usually when you water towards evening, you know, we get less wind, it's just not going to dry, and then you can have wet foliage going overnight, and that's just a good way to get disease developing in your grass.
Yeah, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. What suffers the most when it gets this hot? The lawns, the flowers, the gardens, the veggies? And when it gets this hot, there's got to be some deterioration on probably everything, isn't there?
There is, to some extent, because even some of our heat-loving plants, if you look at tomatoes, for example, when you get temperatures, you know, nearing 100, your flower blossoms can just abort because the temperatures are just so hot that they more or less can't take it, and you're going to lose fruit. If you look at lawns or cool season grasses, you know, temperatures in the 70s would be ideal, and you get temperatures this hot, they're just trying to make it through. And you know, plants like broccoli, lettuce, spinach, if people are still growing those at this point, they're really going to be stressed during this hot period too.
Okay.
Does that affect the tomatoes too? I know everyone's, you know, their gardens are growing right now, and the vegetables and all that. Any tips for getting them through this hot
get them in the shade
now?
I suppose is a big deal.
If you happen to have them in pots, yes, if you could give them a little bit of shade, that probably wouldn't be a bad idea. If they're growing out in the garden, especially with tomatoes, just keep an eye on moisture. I haven't heard many reports yet, but I suspect they're probably going to be coming as tomatoes start to ripen. There's a disorder called blossom end rot, where basically it looks like the end of the fruit or the blossom end is rotting. And it's a calcium deficiency in the fruit. And most all of our soils, we have ample calcium. But usually it's caused by a fluctuation of really dry soils to then really wet soils, and then just the rate of growth on the tomato. And that causes an imbalance of calcium, and it leads to blossom end rot. So usually if you can maintain adequate moisture in your garden, you can, for the most part, usually prevent it. There's going to be some variety differences, too. But that's what I would be keeping an eye on right now, especially with how warm it's been. And, again, that warm temperature is really pushing growth on tomatoes. So make sure you have adequate water.
All right, cool. Thanks, Randy. We do have a question from Bob. Bob is called. What's your question, Bob?
Yeah, Randy, I've got a little bit of a problem out at my lake cabin. I've got a couple of nine bark, and they've got white powder all over them, which I guess is fungus. Did buy some spray that's supposed to be applied every day, but of course, we're weekend people out at the lake. If you cut them down, can I expect them to come back decent next spring, or is it the type of thing where you just have to pull them out and start over?
They should be fine, Bob. You got a couple of options. One, you said you have a fungicide, but you say you're supposed to apply it every day. Is that correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. There are other fungicides. Cause what you're dealing with is powdery mildew, which is really common on nine bark, especially if you have kind of a purplish-leaved nine bark. That white really stands out on the foliage. There are a number of other fungicides you could use, Bob, where you know, you're probably looking at maybe intervals, you know, 14 days, 21 days, something like that. I'd look for the active ingredient chlorothalonil when you go to your garden center and you look in the fungicide section. Look for chlorothalonil. That would be one that should be pretty effective for you, Bob, and you wouldn't have to spray that often. Putting that on now, it's not going to cure anything that has been damaged, but you certainly can reduce the amount of disease spread. So in my opinion, it'd be worthwhile. Getting to your second point about cutting down the nine bark, if you wanted to, you could cut them right down to the ground, although I would wait until next spring before you do that. As long as the plants are healthy, you're going to have an abundance of regrowth on those plants.
Okay, could you tell me what the ingredient was again?
The active ingredient is chlorothalonil.
Chlora?
One product, for example, is called Daconil.
Daconil.
Okay.
Chlorothalonil.
Okay. You know, I also got fungus in the grass. Is that some of the same stuff that could be used on that? Or
If you have a whitish powder on some of your grass, it likely is powdery mildew. There's a chance that you could use it on your lawn too, Bob. What I would do when you find that product, look at the label and just make sure that it's labeled for use on home lawns. And if that's the case, you should be fine using that on your lawn too.
Okay.
Bob, I got to say.
Very good. I guess I know about it.
With all this fungus, you're clearly a fun guy. Come on.
Yeah, well,
I'll be here all week.
Never a lack of things to do out at the lake.
Yeah, that's
that
for sure.
That was horrible.
All right, brother, thanks. There you go. Randy, how do we get a hold of you if you got any other questions?
You can reach me at 218-299-7338.
All right, and get a pen ready because you're going to need it for Randy's email address is?
Yeah.
That is NELF1657@umn.edu.
Always a pleasure, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks, Randy.